Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Don't forget, you can hear every game of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues right here on WQAM. Pregame starts at 7:45. The broadcast on WQAM is sponsored by Gunther Kia. You got to get to Gunther Kia for the summer sticker sales events happening now through July 1st. Hockey on Miami's Hockey Station, AM 560 and FM 96.5, HD2 WQAM.
We're going to be going to a little NBA here in just a few minutes. Brian Geltzeiler will join us. SiriusXM, NBA, and NBA TV. Talk a little bit about everything going on and trying to figure out if Kevin Durant is going to be back here in one of these next two games at Golden State back on the West Coast, or Klay Thompson update and everybody else as far as this series now being split at 1-1. We'll talk to him about all that stuff coming up. And, of course, we'll jump in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. 56022. We got a lot of messages coming in. Omar Kelly, yes. Dolphin Sun Sentinel writer will join us at 9 o'clock. Fresh off a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I guess, what, partially. He wasn't there the whole time, right? He didn't hang out in Cuba the whole time.
No, I think he was just there for...
Says couple.
I think he was just there for one day. I think it was just one day at the port. You know, it's an all-day thing there, but yeah, that's it.
So anyway, he can tell us about Coral Gables to Cuba to... The fat kids that he saw, the mm-hmm. fat men, and everything else.
Very well-developed area, Caribbean Island.
I just laugh, man. I'm sorry. I just, after, you know, I just got to laugh.
I don't think he's been on the radio since he got back, so this would be his debut. His
Welcome
like,
back.
Yeah.
He can cover the Rashad Jones story like everybody else today, as Rashad's expected to show up today and be part of the mini camp. We'll find out if he... practices and you know, everybody wants to know, like, coach, you said everything's an open competition, he hasn't been here, how are you going to treat it? Then I was made aware of the fact he's been injured too, so he may not matter if he gets snaps or not, because he might be on the side watching until he gets healthy.
Well, if he comes in nicked up and, like you said, he doesn't have to speak to the media, more speculation. If he's just walking around in a T-shirt.
Well, at least he's there.
Yeah,
and then,
if he's there, you're right.
But,
right.
But you know, I expect he's going to be there. Why in the hell would you want to give money for not showing up?
No.
For
right. Doesn't sound smart.
Nobody wants to be traded worse than Duke Johnson, and he showed up
right.
to Cleveland.
Right.
Right. Duke's like, I'm looking at this running back situation. Get me out. I know I can play. Other people know I can play. Get me out of here. And they're going, no. We still need you. Especially the other guy we got's not going to be back for eight games. So they're loading up as well. But, yeah, the story around football today with mini camps opening for nine teams is going to be – a lot of it's going to be the guys that haven't been around for OTAs. And, again, you don't have to be. You don't get fined. You may have a coach that's a little salty – or a general manager, it's a little upset you're not around, especially for new offense or new defense and everything else. But they're saying Rashad has talked a lot to his head coach. So I don't know how much we're going to find out over the next couple of days. I think this might be the only day that's open to the media. But Matt Taylor knows what's coming for sure, and that is, what's the deal? Are we going to get a chance to talk to Rashad and everything else? By the way, Le'Veon Bell. Another story. You saw who he's been working out with.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right here, and just a few minutes away from
our
us
backyard here.
Right here, Le'Veon's been working out, and Pete Bomarito has said he's ready to go, and don't worry about him. And
there'll be news cameras all over him today in New York. They open up camp today as well. Nine camps open up today.
The Patriots' only playoff team. The other eight are not playoff teams that open up today. So that's the big news going on. But, yes, Le'Veon Bell in New York for the Jets. Odell Beckham with the Browns today. There's a lot of camps that open up where there's going to be plenty of news cameras ready to go to see what's going to happen in the next 3 days before the summer off.
Only thing about all this stuff, if you play well once the season starts, now I think you put more pressure on yourself for not being around. But you get out there and you play well, we will absolutely forget everything about who went to OTAs and who didn't. You come in, Rashad comes back and has a really good season and fits into the system that that they're putting in. He's productive. Nobody will say a word about anything. And it'll be the same in Cleveland, same with the Jets, same with all the other guys that have skipped a lot of these OTA days. Nobody will care if Odell Beckham Jr. goes for 80 catches and 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns.
That he missed OTAs.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, what happened to all that timing you guys were worried about? That I wasn't with Baker Mayfield. It looks just fine. And, you know, I know team. It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport, by the way, with so many guys and so many different parts and three different parts to a team and special teams, offense, defense, 11 guys at a time, all the numbers you know, but you really do need to have coordination with everybody. And by the way, not everybody wants to be a leader. Like Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't want to be a guy going around.
You can't force someone to do it. That's it. Like, you know, they either are or they're not.
Le'Veon Bell doesn't want it. He says, I'll show you how I lead. When you see my stats every week, Odell Beckham too. Those guys are like, I'm going to lead by stats. And I'll put big stats on, and if I get big stats, we got a good chance to win.
All right. He's right about that. I don't care about him yelling in the locker room as long as he's doing his job.
Like, I can't help if the rookie down over there is a little down and out. That's not my job. My job is to come in and giddy up. Get up. I can't worry about the guy running down on special teams that might have gone to my school, like whatever. He wants to talk to me or something, he can. But, you know, everybody's
different.
Sports have changed a lot. For all this talk about guys being late and not showing up, Art and I were talking last night. Said, would you have ever been late? I said, I wasn't good enough to be late.
That's it.
Start with that. And And I had a coach that was intimidating. I mean, it's just the sport's a lot different now. A lot different. Our teams are really close. Guys played together, but there wasn't free agency and all the stuff that they have now where guys understand, you paid me a lot of money to come in here and be productive. I don't know what else. We made one big mistake with the Miami Dolphins, and when he signed, he said all these wonderful things, and he just... And Ndamukong Suh, now you're going to come in and be a leader, right? And you're going to help all the other guys, right? And you're going to be the guy. It's just not Ndamukong Suh. And Ndamukong Suh knows, like, I'm brought in here.
He's a hired hitman.
Most of the snaps, which that dude is about as durable as any defensive lineman we've ever had in this league. And I'm here to just make things difficult on offensive lines. And hopefully guys around me will play well, and I'm going to make some plays. But if you're expecting me to be the young guys to really look up to me and be my
mentor?
Their favorite guy, I think he tried it a little bit. I don't think it went real well.
He was doing with Jordan Phillips, right, in the beginning?
Well, he actually with Gottschall and Taylor was really good to start with, although I don't think that ended real well because – stuff that was going on and everything else. But, yeah, just certain guys. Like, he's a really good player, and I still think he's a really good player. He didn't stop being a good player. But if you're asking him to come in here now, with that money, we're expecting this, and he's never done it, why do you think guy's going to change? And Ndamukong Suh never did that in Detroit. He was there to kick ass. I'm your team ass kicker. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
That's what we hired him for,
need
too.
You. Now, are you going to be at workout? I'll never forget. They were like, you're going to be at workout. Yeah, I'll be there for a while. Then as time went on.
California,
he started disappearing and making his way to Oregon.
That's right.
And doing everything. It was a big Nike guy and working out. And
hanging out with Warren Buffett. In the offseason.
So anyway, yeah, you know, guys.
Talking finances.
There's different kind of guys, and there will be leaders around the team that'll do all those things you want, but not every guy wants that role to be that guy. And honestly, some of the old school guys that wanted to be a little more than team captains and acted like coaches, I didn't really like them.
Mm.
I didn't really like being around those. I'm not saying any names. I don't want to get into all that today. But, yeah, I didn't want to hear a guy tell me, hey, you got to pick it up, man. You have a very good game. Because I had that happen. And I was like, hey, man, I don't really need to hear that from you. I'm going to hear that in a few minutes from the assistant coach. And I'll definitely hear from the head coach. Like, I don't need to hear from anybody else. First of all, I know when I look in the mirror when I play well and when I don't. And second of all, I know the coach knows when I play well and when I don't. There's only 45 of us. I know that he knows that. Last thing I need to know while I'm eating lunch is for you to look at me and tell me. Because I saw you get your ass kicked a few times, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Even though, you know, you're a hell of a lot better player than I am, but that's beside the point.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Brian Geltzeiler. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio and NBA TV. He's the Hoops critic. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, guys. How we doing?
Brian, we're doing good. I hate that critic thing, man, because people think you're coming on and you're just going to blast everybody, you know? Like, damn, Brian, we gotta change that to good guy Brian's coming on. Hey, Brian.
I like the critic part. They should understand that the hammer doesn't always get used, but it's here and it's in the tool. It's
always ready.
And it's ready to be. It's always ready at any time.
Hey, I want to ask you, it has nothing to do with negative stuff except the injury bug. No Kevin Durant. Do you think Kevin Durant's going to play in this series, or are we just getting the big fool like he's not a few days away?
No, I think Kevin Durant's going to play in this series. I do think, though, there's two different factors at play. Number one is obviously the status of the series at 1-1. I felt as though going into Game 2 that if the Warriors were down 2-0, we would see him as soon as Game 3, even if it's not for a ton of time and it's just for some decoy value, because when Durant's on the floor, he is an absolute presence out there, even if he's far from 100%. But I did feel like with the series going to 1-1, they might try to hold him out for a little bit of a healthier version on Friday till Game 4. But now with Klay Thompson's status being in question, with Kevon Looney being out for the series, and guys, do not sleep on the fact that Kevon Looney is out for the series. That weakens their defense in a big way with the way they switch and really doesn't give them another person to go to besides for Cousins in the middle that can be strong on that end of the floor. Because, listen, for as well as Cousins played, Toronto attacks him and tries to bring him to Leonard every single possession, he's out there. So you look at that, and then now, obviously, with Klay with these issues and being questionable, do you push Durant to Game 3 is the question. I still think they play a longer game with him. We see him in Game 4 of this series. But if I'm Kevin Durant, free agency be damned, man. I would hate to see this team win a title with me sitting at the conference finals and the finals with all the rumblings that you get that this team doesn't need Kevin Durant. This team does need Kevin Durant. But I do think we see him at one point or another in this series.
Guts, are you impressed with Boogie coming out, you know, starting that game and coming out and actually playing pretty well?
I couldn't be more impressed with
right,
Boogie.
Right.
And I'll say this. I mean, I tweeted out during game one that, you know, he didn't play badly in game one, but he only played 8 minutes and he looked a whole lot more like the guy that ate DeMarcus Cousins instead of DeMarcus Cousins. But he stepped out onto the floor as a starter in game two, and yes, with a little bit of extra weight on him, but he busted his backside. And, you know, Kerr's plan for him was 20 minutes. His plan also was not for Looney to get hurt after only playing 10 minutes. So they had to stretch him and push him, and adrenaline kind of drove him a little bit. Boogie Cousins, maybe more than any other player in this series, will benefit greatly from the space between games. So I think you'll see an even stronger version of him. I mean, Kerr's not going to run him over 30 minutes, but you saw the effect he can have playing 28 minutes in a game. They need him desperately. And listen, this is the wild part about all the embarrassment of riches and all this talent on the Golden State team. And Kerr was absolutely right when he said this. They needed the offense. They needed another score in there for that team. And the ironic part is that Boogie's major contribution didn't even really come necessarily in scoring. They did have 11 points. But Boogie's big contribution was he had every big defensive rebound late in that game. And he had 6 assists. They used him at point center for a time. So, listen, I give DeMarcus Cousins a lot of credit. He is right now out here competing in the NBA final for a contract. But he's not going rogue. He's playing within this team concept. And he's understood that really the holy grail for him, the brass ring to go grab, is to play a role in this team winning a title to be able to go get paid next summer. And the fact is that he's grown up a little bit too. His behavior level within this team, within this franchise, has been demonstrably different than it was when he was in New Orleans and it was certainly when he was in Sacramento.
Brian, no Kevin Durant, no Klay Thompson in game 3. I don't think Golden State can win, even at home. Do you?
I think they can. I think it'll be a tough game. The one thing you have to remember about them is that they are still a very, very good defensive team. Now, listen, I'm not saying Quinn Cook's sneaking up on anybody again, and certainly the minutes they got out of him late in that game were absolutely precious, and it was very hard to hang on without Klay. But home crowd, I give Golden State a puncher's chance with the way they defend. One thing's very important about what you saw defensively from Golden State game 1 to game 2. Game 1, they made a concerted effort. We're going to keep Kawhi Leonard from killing us and make these other guys beat us. And what happened? Other guys, HLI, Siakam at 32, Marc Gasol had 20. They decided in game 2, and listen, it wasn't even decided. It was the fact that we need to guard Siakam more aggressively. We just need to look at these other guys. And listen, late in that game, they moved Draymond Green over to Kyle Lowry to try to keep Lowry from doing anything in the paint, because Lowry off the bounce in the paint is really the most important engine that drives Toronto's offense, because it creates space for everybody else. So they made it a point to get on Gasol. And Gasol had foul trouble too, which helped. They made it a point to guard Siakam tight. But even putting Draymond on Lowry for a while kept Lowry from being as assertive as Toronto needs him to be. It was a very good strategy, because here's what I'll say about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was capable of beating Philly on his own. Just barely, but capable of beating Philly on his own. He was certainly more than capable of beating Milwaukee on his own. I just don't know that he's capable of beating Golden State on his own. And that's even with a compromised version of Golden State. This is the thing I said, listen, the Warriors are going to struggle to score if Klay Thompson and Durant don't play. There's no doubt. But can they defend well enough to beat this Toronto team? The answer might just be yes.
Wow.
Kelsey, we saw it up close and personal here after the 4 years with the Big Three and LeBron leaving after they lost to San Antonio. Does Toronto have to win for Kawhi to stay? Because after game 1, you know, you see, oh, maybe he's happy there. And then after game 2, well, reports are that he still wants out. Do they have to win the championship for Kawhi to stay? What do you think?
I don't think it matters. I think he's leaving regardless. It's no blight on the city of Toronto or the fans or even that organization. It's just that it was a stopover for him. That's all it was from the beginning. And I think what happens is, you know, listen, there's guys that can go into a situation like that, see all the success, and get sentimental. Kawhi Leonard's not one of those guys. He's a really bright guy, and one of the biggest mistakes the San Antonio Spurs hierarchy and coaching staff and even his teammates made is they mistook quiet for stupid. He's a really bright guy, and I think Kawhi Leonard looks at the situation and realizes signing for 5 years in Toronto may put me on an island in terms of being able to have what I need around me to win. Gasol's an older player at this point. Lowry's an older player at this point. Keep this in mind. Gasol, Lowry, Ibaka, and Van Vliet come off the books in the summer of 2020. That's a full $85 million. You have no idea what they're going to reload with. Here's the other bigger factor in all that. If you told Kawhi that Masai Ujiri was guaranteed to be there to build this team for the next 5 years, well, that would be a different story as well. And I think that would be something that potentially could keep him there. There's a reason the Wizards haven't filled their vacant GM job, guys. I got to tell you. And they waited to talk to Tim Connelly when Denver was out. Now they're waiting to talk to Masai Ujiri. And Masai Ujiri very well may not be there. And for everything that they've done with their year-long recruiting pitch to Kawhi, Masai's been a huge part of that. If there's no guarantee that Masai's going to end up staying there when all this is over, there's no way. And I just think, listen, the organizational structure with the Los Angeles Clippers is extremely appealing to Kawhi Leonard. He's got a championship coach in Doc Rivers. Lawrence Frank is as good an executive as there is. They've kept their entire front office intact. They have one of the best owners in all sports in Steve Ballmer. And Jerry West is there guiding the ship and being the consultant. You look at that front office. You look at what they've built, cap space, picks, all of it. This is a really attractive place. If Kawhi's the first to go there, he's probably not going to be the last. Somebody's going to go join him there. And plus, you know, listen, he just bought this big house down at Rancho Santa Fe near San Diego, and it's you know, he'll be able to get back and forth from Staples. He has two young kids. It's like all of this works for him. It's where he grew up. It's where he wants to live. It's where he wants to be. It's the perfect storm. And unfortunately for the Raptors, it's probably too big a mountain for them to climb.
Getting away from the finals for just a second, I want to ask you, who has the best AD trade package offer to make for New Orleans? Would you say it's the Celtics or the Lakers? With the Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Smart versus Ball, Ingram and Kuzma and draft picks and everything else could be thrown in.
You know, Joe, I had a conversation with an NBA GM yesterday, and it was an interesting conversation regarding the Anthony Davis talks. It's definitely the Celtics. The Celtics, if they're willing to put Tatum, Brown, Smart, and the number 14 pick in a deal, he's theirs, because ultimately David Griffin would sign Tatum and Brown to second contracts. And Tatum, Brown, Williamson would be how he would build that team. And it'd keep Jrue Holiday in that scenario as well. And they'd really be a good team as early as next year. The problem is that if you're Danny Ainge, you're going to do this for Anthony Davis because you're going to pair him with Kyrie Irving. There's a significant chance they're going to lose Kyrie Irving. And if you're going to lose Kyrie Irving and you make that trade to get Anthony Davis, you left yourself with Anthony Davis and nada. And I don't know that Horford and Hayward and Rozier are going to be enough to keep make Anthony Davis want to stay in Boston. So I don't think Boston's going to pony up what New Orleans would really want from them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one issue. The other issue is New York. Listen, New York has what it takes. The question becomes for the Knicks is, do you take this leap of faith? Give them the number 3 pick, which is probably going to be RJ Barrett. You give them the Dallas unprotected you got in the Porzingis trade. They would want the Dallas protected picks and all your young player assets. Knox Robinson, and even you'd have to throw Dennis Smith and Neal Akina in for salary purposes. So, like, you go up and down the line and look at that. Are the Knicks willing to part with that much? And it's funny because up till now, I've been very anti-Lakers for AD. After this conversation yesterday, the one word that kept being used to me is the Lakers are desperate enough to give New Orleans all of it.
Yep.
And if they're desperate enough to give New Orleans all of it, everybody that they want, even if there's guys going in that deal that are just free look kind of guys, because I don't know this. I know David Griffin well enough to know. I don't know that he's going to want to sign Ingram, Kuzma, and Ball all to second contracts here. And that's the difference between the Laker offer and the Boston offer. Boston, if you bring Tatum and Brown in, you will re-sign them to second contracts for big money and be thrilled to keep them. I don't know that you feel that way about the Laker guys, but the 4 pick, those 3 players, you know, if they're willing to give you all of it, and either the Knicks or the Celtics are willing to give you all of it, or the Clippers for that matter, who really have enough to get in the mix as well, he's probably going to end up being on the Lakers. And again, I haven't felt that way till that conversation I had yesterday. This is the first time I'm saying it over any airwaves. But in terms of what I'm hearing, other teams that could be in the mix for Anthony Davis and could have the best offer may come up just a little bit short because they just don't want to give everything. For the Lakers, they don't have a choice but to give everything.
So 0% chance he actually plays with Zion, Anthony Davis and Zion, because that's kind of a sexy little look right there also.
It is. The thing is this. You know, Griff understands 2 things. Number one, if he lets the cat out of the bag at this point that there's no way impossible he can keep Anthony Davis, it reduces his leverage in the open market. The fact that you know they had a meeting and they kind of said we're going to talk again means I'm going to do the best I can to trade you to one of your destinations or you're going to keep your mouth shut that you still want out. That's pretty much what we're going to talk again means there. And then the other thing is that if Griff's going to move him, his options are as open can be moving him draft week, because ultimately he can use some of last year's expiring contracts as cap fodder in a deal and end up trading Davis and essentially getting cap space for trading Davis because you're taking back expirings on guys whose contract expired in 10 days, 2 weeks, you know what I mean? So to me, I think that Davis is definitely gone, and I think it's going to happen much sooner rather than later.
All right.
When does the IV of coffee and caffeine go into you? June 30th, or is it July 1st when you have to do that?
It's probably sometime around July 10th when I return from Vegas.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, because it's a crazy time, guys. We go from finals right to draft work, and I'm covering the draft for NBA Radio. And then after the draft, I get a short respite. My short respite, I spent at a Duke at basketball camp with my son for 4 days. I come back less than a week later. I'm on a plane to Vegas. I spend 3 days doing the NBA Summer League stuff in Vegas, which, don't get me wrong, guys, I am not complaining. It's as fun as 3 days as I have all year long. But by the time I come back, I'm pretty much ready to collapse at that point. That's where, yeah, and I think there's a whole lot more, Zach, going in that IV than just coffee.
Sure. I could maybe a B12 shot in there also.
Like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Galti, thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time.
Brian,
we always appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, guys. Look forward to doing it again soon. Take care.
All right, Brian Geltzeiler from SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV. That's
AD to the Lakers.
AD to the Lakers, huh?
AD to the Lakers. LeBron and AD.
Magic left a couple days too early.
Hell of a nice way to start your franchise rebuild.
WQAM Sports, Steaks and Spirits is this Wednesday. Huge thanks to all who entered. If you did not win your way in, but you want to hang out with the QAM staff, we have a way for you to go, but there are only 50 tickets available. Our friends at JWB Prime Steaks and Seafood have created a special menu that you could purchase to come to the event. For details, go to WQAM.com.
All right, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Omar Kelly is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to him since he's back from his vacation, getting ready
for
mini camp and everything out there. A couple more days, and then the guys are off for most of June and a lot of July. Well, I tell you what, you start looking at time off. I know those guys all work out and still do their stuff, but 3 full months, all of January, all of February, all of March, at the end of June here in the first week, the rest of the month, and the first couple of weeks of July. Now, you got to stay in shape, obviously, but a lot of time off.
Nice time off.
I will say this, though. The guys stay in a lot better shape than the old days when guys played basketball and did a lot of different things, and guys used to use camp, a lot of guys, to get in shape coming back because camp was so long. I know somebody sent a text message, and they're right on the money. What would Don Shula? I said Don Shula would want 6 preseason games and about 2 or 3 weeks of practice, and then he'd go, all right, now we can play. I think we're ready to go. We got 3-a-days out of the way, 2-a-days. Let's go ahead and do it. You can join us on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line 56022.
How about this one? Golden State wants to take control of the series before Durant returns to show they don't need him moving forward.
I don't buy that.
That's going to be the conspiracy theory, right?
I just think that's kind of an outside thing that the media's those guys are high-fiving each other. Yep. Media on the outside makes like the other three guys want to show Kevin Durant they can win without him. No, they want to win a ring. He's getting a ring no matter what.
That's right.
So I don't buy, and it's a media thing, and we always look at different angles. It's kind of like we're already
calling him, he's gone.
And we got Kawhi out the door. We got Kevin Durant. Yeah, they don't need you, Kevin Durant, to win. And the team's going, hell yes, we do. Why wouldn't we want him out here? It's only going to help. It's going to free up the other guys more. Yeah, I don't think they're on a mission to show Kevin Durant.
We can win without you.
Yeah.
You see him in the little hallway after they're waiting for all the guys to come in.
Yeah, he's high-fiving all the guys.
Hugging everybody, yes.
I think those guys realize they put in a lot of time, and they don't get caught up in people sending Twitter and tweets and text messages and all the articles about Kevin Durant, we don't need you. All right.
That's pretty stupid.
That's your opinion. It's not a very good one.
Someone talking about Art Kehoe was on earlier with us and said, not to mention that Art Kehoe's got a dinner plate named after him at the Big Cheese in South Miami. That's as good as his recruiting.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I. How about
I like
that?
The Big Cheese when I'm down there. It's a good place.
You got to get the Art Kehoe, I guess. That's it.
What is that? Is that a big oversized? What?
I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Certain kind of pizza?
Probably at this point or something like that. God, Kellerman is such an idiot. Forget his whole career. Curry just carried Golden State past Houston with big shot after big shot. What is this idiot talking about?
Well, if people haven't heard it, we played it early this morning. Max Kellerman, why people say he should stick to
boxing.
To boxing. Yeah. Talking about Iguodala is a better clutch shooter at the end of games. You'd rather have him shoot. Here it is if you missed it.
I want Iguodala. That's right. And I know what that sounds like. And it's not fair to Steph because so much defensive attention is paid to him. And I'm not saying Steph's not a better shooter. He's a way better shooter. Iguodala's got ice water in his veins. Iguodala is that type of player. Let me give you some examples. I'll take some baseball examples. A-Rod was an MVP, hit 50 home runs, this and that. Ask any Yankees fan from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, would you rather have bases loaded World Series, you need to run Luis Soho, the middle infielder up, or A-Rod? Hardcore Yankees fans will tell you Luis Soho. Because when under pressure, there was something about that dude that was cool and something about A-Rod that wasn't. I mean, that's what
I
it is.
Love Steph A-Rod. Curry's the greatest shooter of all time.
Until it matters most. I've seen, let me tell you something my dad used to tell me about Billy Martin. And I've heard Billy
Martin
say this.
Is your dad still alive?
He is. And he's a big fan of yours, by the way. Careful, he's a big fan of yours.
He's mad at you right now.
Listen. Billy Martin, manager for the Yankees, used to play second base for the championship teams. Used to go 1-for-4 in the regular season, 250 average lifetime, 1-for-3 in the postseason, 333 in the postseason, not a power hitter. Used to say, whatever it was, 1-for-4 or 1-for-3, my one hit would kill you. Mark Jackson was here saying Iggy's like good for great defense and 11 points. Every single one of Iggy's 11 points will kill you. High leverage moment, fate of the universe on the line. I want open shot, not go get it. I want Iguodala taking that shot for me.
Bad example, terrible take.
Wow.
Really, Max, you got a great show. Everybody talks about the debates and everything else, but you need to stick to boxing. You need to get back and try to figure that heavyweight thing out on who should fight and which guys should come up next, because that was just a brutal take. Nothing against Alex Rodriguez, but Steph Curry and A-Rod have nothing in common in what they do best.
Mm. Someone just texting, y'all really have to stop feeding into this type of crap. No, we hear it. We still got to talk about it. Max Kellerman sounded like an idiot yesterday.
You just think, like, for debates on stuff, like, that show is, listen, God bless those guys.
It's built on debating topics, of course.
They've done it. They're now followed on everything they take. But I sometimes wonder about Max Kellerman, who tries to somehow outdo Stephen A. with these takes. And he says stuff that's just, it's just stupid.
What exactly is he saying? Is he saying you'd rather have Andre Iguodala take an open shot than have Steph Curry take a covered shot?
He's saying at the end, I'm guessing.
Because Curry has too much defense, like he'd rather the other guy who's open take the shot?
Like, I just think he'd rather have Andre take that shot.
Well, there's a reason.
At the end of the game, which
Andre's
just sounds
going to be a lot more open in these three-point shots in this series, considering that Toronto's already come out and said, as soon as he gets past half court, we're going to double-team Steph. He didn't get a shot in one quarter the other night. He didn't get a shot off. And by the way, Toronto does a great job defensively. We saw with the Greek Freak. We've seen it. They've made things tough on Steph Curry, too. Really tough. Like, Steph, your 35 and 40-point games are not going to happen. At least, we're going to try.
He's an excellent clutch player, by the way, Steph Curry. All you got to do is Google his buzzer beaters.
That's it.
I mean, he's...
Yeah, it's not like he
an excellent clutch player.
Yes.
Let's see. How about this? Someone said the Kehoe plate of the Big Cheese, a giant plate of chicken, meatballs, sausage, and cheese. Yeah, that's exactly what
I
figured.
That would be fitting for...
I like
for Coach.
That
would
like
be
that.
Coach Keogh. That would be something. Big plate.
Yep.
Eating that.
Here we go, Joe. What will we see first? The new Marlins first round pick play in the majors or the Dolphins in a playoff game? Gotta hope it's the Dolphins in the playoff game. Good God.
That's an interesting one.
Good God.
First round pick, if everything goes as it should, especially with some struggling guys in the outfield right now, it could be 2 years, man. That's not bad.
No, that's not
for
bad.
A college
I would
guy,
take
two
that.
Years.
Yeah.
We have starting right fielder.
I would take that.
Anyway, listen, we got to go to break here. We don't want to miss Omar time, man.
No. We need all of it.
Omar Kelly, Dolphin Sun Sentinel writer, is going to join us coming up. We'll talk to Omar as we get set for our mini camp today.
Mandatory. Make sure you put that in there.
And we got to get caught up with Omar, who's been letting it go pretty good. As we found out for the first time since I've been here, since 1980, that Cuba looks a lot like Coral Gables.
I'm excited to find out about it.
And they got fat people in Cuba. They're eating enough. The kids are fat. And the dads are fat over there, got big bellies.
You should have heard, see one of the texts that said maybe Omar found us an offensive lineman with all those fat guys out there in Cuba.
You never know. Guy's got quick feet. He can play for us if he's lifting a few weights.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.